When my father was in seminary studying to be a minister, he served as a student pastor of Bethlehem Presbyterian Church, a small congregation in the small town of Shinston, West Virginia. By small, I mean the church at that time had no more than 50 members, but it was a tight-knit community and regularly had 20 to 30 people in worship on a Sunday morning. When I was about 5 years old, my father was invited to preach on Easter Sunday at Bethlehem, and so the whole family loaded up and headed to worship. Since it was Easter morning, we had already opened our presents. I was a bullheaded five-year-old, so I insisted on taking my Easter present to church with me. It just so happened that my present that year was a cowboy dress-up set, complete with vest, hat, and a cap, gun, and holster. My mother knew well when to pick her battles, and so she coalesced, and I attended Easter service that year dressed as a cowboy. Now, that small country church did not see many children. It was an aging congregation. So many in the congregation doted on my sister and me. They loved to see us and have us involved in the worship service. That particular Easter, someone thought it was a good idea to have us collect the offering. Who would say no to such cute faces? And so when the time came in the service for the offering to be collected, my sister and I shimmied out of the pew in which we were sitting with our mother and made our way to the front of the sanctuary to get the offering plates. Being the sneaky and antagonistic older sibling that she was, my sister took that opportunity to ever so gently remove the gun from my holster without me noticing, hoping to get a reaction at some point, I am sure. And boy, did she get a reaction, though it was not from me. Because you see, as we both made our rounds through the pews collecting the offering, my sister did so holding the offering plate with one hand and the gun underneath. As such, after getting over the initial shock of being asked for offering at gunpoint, the congregation got a healthy laugh out of the whole situation. Now, I don't know if more was collected that day than on past Easter Sundays, but if so, I would not be surprised to hear that the church went back to the at gunpoint strategy at some point. Each of you must give as you have made up your mind, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Since it was a toy gun and a smiling, mischievous seven-year-old holding it, the giving that day in Shinston was indeed cheerful, I trust. Had it been a real gun, or had the congregation felt pressured and manipulated to give due to other reasons, then the giving would have likely been reluctant or under compulsion. And the former is much preferred, according to Paul. Cheerful trumps reluctant any day. In our New Testament reading today, the Apostle Paul was writing about a specific opportunity to give, a New Testament capital campaign, if you will. The church at Jerusalem, as the book of Acts tells us, experimented with property and practically abolished the notion of private property. Now, the whole group of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one claimed private ownership of any possessions, but everything they owned was held in common. From the common fund thus created, the committee headed by Stephen distributed to each as he had need. It was a successful plan for a while, but by the time Paul wrote his second letter to the Corinthians, some 20 years later or more, the mother church in Jerusalem had fallen on hard times. The cause was partly a famine, which of course they could not help. But their poverty was also due to the fact that in their generous sharing of what they had forgotten something important: production. Their system of distribution worked splendidly, but distribution without production ends in the poorhouse for individual or for nation. You reach the point where your system of distribution has nothing left to distribute. At this low point in the Jerusalem community's history, Paul conceived a simple but hopeful plan. Jerusalem was the mother of all of the churches. Why not let the children come to their mother's rescue? It was ingenious. The church in Jerusalem clearly needed help. The churches scattered around the region, many of which were started by Paul, wanted and needed the blessing of the mother church. If the churches throughout the region could unite in support of the church in Jerusalem, well, then it would be a win-win. And so that is what Paul set out to orchestrate, a substantial offering from the outlying churches to support the poor mother church in Jerusalem. That is the important backdrop of Paul's words we read today from 2 Corinthians. And from what we can gather, despite numerous and significant challenges, Paul's campaign was a success, and it united the churches in an important way. And now here we stand, some 2,000 years later, in the throes of our second capital campaign, a venture aimed at raising the funds needed to provide a safe, spacious, and welcoming enough facility to support the worship, mission, education, and fellowship of this congregation for years to come. And Paul's words come through as exhortation for us as well. Each of you must give as you have made up your mind, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Once again, we are asking each and every household of this church to prayerfully discern what would be a meaningful, joyful, and sacrificial gift to this endeavor. Praying each day, Lord, what would you do through me to accomplish your will in my church? Meaningful, joyful, and sacrificial. And today I encourage you to find that joy, to be a cheerful giver, as Paul would put it. A mother gave her little girl a quarter and a dollar before church. Put whichever one you want in the collection plate and keep the other for yourself, she told her daughter. When they were coming out of church, the mother asked her daughter which amount she had given. Well, said the little girl, I was going to give the dollar, but just before the collection, the man in the pulpit said that we should all be cheerful givers. I knew I'd be a lot more cheerful if I gave the quarter. So I did. In this, our second campaign, it may be tempting to keep the dollar and to give the quarter. But I think we all know the real point of that story. For the true joy is found in giving the dollar. And I trust, indeed I know, from conversations I have had with some of you, that that kind of sacrifice has brought joy to many of you over these last 3 years. You may have had your doubts and fears about the commitment you made to our first campaign, but you have seen the joy it can bring and will bring as the ministry expansion plan is brought to its fruition. Finding that joy in giving requires trust, which is why Chad read from Proverbs 3 today. Because, quite frankly, this is my favorite passage of Scripture. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not rely on your own insight. In all of your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. And those verses have carried me through many times when I have been anxious about what might lie ahead. And it will carry all of us through this journey as well, I trust. In order to raise the funds we need to make our ministry expansion plan a reality, we will all need to trust in the Lord with all of our hearts and lean not on our own understanding, because we will all be called to commit in ways that make us anxious, that may at first seem irrational or even irresponsible to give meaningfully and sacrificially. But if we are able to do so, if we are able to trust and commit, then I believe that the joy will follow. Time and time again, when we give to the work of the Lord, we reap rewards we would have never imagined. And so I invite you into this joy, the joy of generosity, of giving something to something much greater than ourselves, the joy of giving not reluctantly or under compulsion, but out of our love for God, the one who is the giver of all good things. And so I stand here today not with a toy gun in my hand, or even with words that are meant to induce guilt, but rather with an invitation. an invitation to join your brothers and sisters who have already decided to give meaningfully and sacrificially. Join us in finding the deep and abiding joy in giving generously to the work of the kingdom. It is what I want most of all for the faithful of CMPC as we walk this journey together. And I believe, at the depths of my soul, that it is what God so desires. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.